Kingdom greetings, good morning. Peace be unto you all, the peace that Christ gives. The kid just read it. Jesus said, I give you peace, not like the world gives it. Ah, thank God that we have such peace from him. Ah, Jesus, we humble ourselves before you, Father. Lord, once again today, as it's been my prayer all week, all season long, I pray that you would take away from me the fear of men, that you would increase the fear of the Lord, and you would give me your word. But at the same time, Lord, I pray that you would open our ears, open the ears of each person here. Let them hear you, Lord. Let the word from your mouth heal them, encourage them, rebuke them, change them, whatever they need, Lord. Let your word speak, go forth. I trust you, Holy Spirit. I trust you. You are so good. Great. Lord, we want to see your name on high, and that's what we do. We place you on the highest place in our midst. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. We value it. We accept the authority of the Word. So as we read it today, teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. And you saints say, amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. So this morning, of course, we've got two candles lit up, the candle of hope. We are in the season of Advent. Advent means, you know, the coming of something. But I got this question for you guys, since we're talking about peace today. Did Jesus come to bring peace? I mean, just think about this, and then maybe help me out. Maybe some of you... Let me see your hands if you think Jesus came to bring peace. Now, some of you might be like, hey, be careful. That might be a tricky question. But let me try that again. Did Jesus really come to bring peace? Because if you know in your knowing, you will know the answer. But if you're not sure, I guess that's a great opportunity for me to help you out. You know, speaking about the birth of Jesus hundreds of years before it happens, there's a verse. Now, believe me, I did not talk with this little boy. He read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I did not talk to him. But this is the verse here from the Bible. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor." Anybody needs a counselor? It's good to go to counseling once in a while. It's really good. It's good to have a mentor, a pastor, somebody older than you, or could be the same age, or somebody wiser than you, somebody wiser. It's good. But here we are in Isaiah chapter 9, where it says, this child, I mean, each of these, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, man, talking about Christmas sermon, there's so much in here. They will call him Wonderful Counselor. So do we need counseling? Well, I mean, if we really give him, you know those people who goes to counseling, but they never do what the counselor says? I am also a counselor. You give advice, pastoral counseling, and I apply some of my counseling in my own life too. That's how I know it works. The Bible, full of counseling. But let's move on. It says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, full of power, everlasting Father, there is none like him. His love will never fail. And then it says, Prince of Peace. So let's focus on Jesus being the Prince of Peace for us today. Peace, what is peace? Peace is freedom from disturbance, tranquility. Huh? How do you say it? Okay, so it doesn't matter. You got it. I just told you the Creole one. Tranquilite. But thank you, though. I'm still in English class. How do you say it? Tranquility. Oh, man, that's fancy. Tranquility. Tranquilité. Tranquility. All week I've been saying tranquility. Anyway. But peace, you get it. Peace is the state of harmony, quiet, and freedom from disturbance. Freedom from anxiety. And then we all have been there. There's no amount of money that can buy peace. There's nothing on earth that can give peace. Wow, we live in a world where a lot of people are looking for peace. I'm looking for peace. There's nothing like being peaceful. Some of us, our house is too loud. We like it quiet, peace, right? Especially with 2 young boys, 5 kids, grandkids, maybe a couple dogs, you know, cats fighting, whatever. What are some aspects of peace? External peace. Everybody's looking for peace. You know, absence of war, violence, and public disturbance. I mean, sadly, our birth country in Haiti right now, there's no peace. There's no peace. I talk to our pastors, it's like sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to tell them. Port-au-Prince, we're talking about Port-au-Prince. There's no peace because there's people dying. Last week, gang took over another area. About 40 people died. You guys heard that on the news? But 40 people, they kill people. Like, I'm like, how come this is not exploding in the news? And you know, Haiti is only like 100, couple, is it like an hour and 20 minutes from Miami? An hour and 20 minutes on a plane from Miami. Just literally, gang went to a community with open automatic weapons, just start shooting. Killed over 40 people. It's heartbroken. There's no peace. The season of Christmas, you know, it is also a season where a lot of people talking about peace on earth. We have it here in one of our banners. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I mean, we hear it's been a couple years. We've got some brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. They need peace. This war is just terrible. We ask, Lord, please change the heart of those people who are, you know, just killing innocent people. We have some people from our network, from our churches, they've lost family members. They can't, you know, Sri Lanka. So one of our pastors, they burned his church a couple times. Peace. Everybody wants peace, external peace. Cease of war. Cease of fire. I mean, even in the Middle East where Jesus lived, man, who wants to take a trip to the Middle East right now? I don't think I want to go. It's not a peaceful area. But we pray for peace for that area. Well, how about internal peace, some key aspect of peace? Did Jesus really come to bring peace? Well, how about internal peace, personal peace, freedom from anxiety? Freedom from emotional turmoil. Turmoil, in the word turmoil, you find uncertainty. I talked to Felix once in a while. He works in the ER at night. He answered the phone. I mean, how do you say that word? Schizophrenic? What? You got it. Yes, that word. Schizophrenic. I got to close my eyes to say it. Schizophrenic. But I know what it means, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, if my brothers and sisters, Jesus says, I come to give you peace. If you could receive God's peace in every situation you are, you can be delivered and being healed from being schizophrenia or something. I know of that word, but I can't really pronounce it. Freedom from anxiety. The state of mental or emotional calmness. I thank God that He even delivered me from noise. I mean, I always love to have noise. Now I feel even like this couple weeks ago I went hunting, but it's not like I really love hunting. But you know, I really like peace now. I like going out somewhere where there's absolutely no noise. If you haven't tried it, try it. In the busyness of our Virginia Beach in Chesapeake, where it took me an hour to get home the other night. Jerry, when I left here, it took me an hour to get home. It's okay. Thank God we still can drive. All right? We're not complaining. We're not complaining. But you know the level of anxiety that we can get to when we drive around? So in the middle of this craziness traffic jam, I can still experience God's peace. Oh, I like this. It says internal peace also have to do with the achievement of a mindfulness, self-care. I love this word, a sense of enoughness. 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 Yeah, enoughness. A state of finding contentment. I am content. You get it? Enoughness. For example, let me tell you this. The season of Christmas can come with a lot of expectation and a lot of pressure and anxiety. For example, you don't have to give gift to everybody in your family. Do you know if you give into that mindset, you have to give gift to everybody? The family is going together for Christmas. And here comes Uncle X with so much money. He's got money, praise God. But he's bringing toys here, toys there to all the kids. And here you are, you feel like worthless. Because everybody come together. Here comes Uncle X with, or Auntie X with all this money. And he's blessing the kids, the family. And then what do you have? You have nothing. Do you know if you're not careful for the season where we're talking peace on earth, this whole season of Christmas can disturb your peace. Just in fact, just because you're not aware, you know what? I'm enough. Right now, I can only write a Christmas card saying Merry Christmas. And Happy Christmas too. Merry Christmas. I can go to the dollar store and get a pack of gum. I'm just giving you just random example. Because as I'm thinking about the season of Christmas, and you can think about the anxiety that could come with the season. Even though we, as followers, Christians of, followers of Jesus, we know Christ came to give us peace. But yet we struggle all year long to have peace. And then here comes Christmas, and then I gotta carry this burden of giving gifts to everybody. I don't have to. Especially if I don't have money. I can give Ryan $5 for Christmas. I can go to Starbucks and get him a gift card for, you know, if somebody give, you don't have to be anxious in the season. That makes sense, guys. Enoughness. Because of my relationship with Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be enough. What you have is enough. The busyness of the season. You know, in the word enoughness, you also find satisfaction with what you have. Praise God, if your neighbor bought a vehicle, don't start being discontent with your 1997 Toyota Corolla. I'm talking reality, guys. Because right now, my season is only allowing me to drive a 1997 Toyota Corolla. But everybody in my street has just upgraded their car. And you guys live in America longer than I do. Than I am. Longer than me. We know that's a struggle. The spirit of not having enough. That doesn't bring peace. And if only we could insert, impart that kind of mindset into the next generation so they can understand every season in their life. So, let's go back again. Did Jesus come to bring peace? You don't have to answer, but think about it. From Luke chapter 2, verse 14, this is what it says. The angel says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 36, it seems like Jesus kind of downplayed. This is what he says. He says, "Don't assume that I have come to bring peace." Jesus is saying, "Do not assume that I have to come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemy will be the members in his own household." Let me read that again. So we're talking about, is Jesus come to bring peace? Hallelujah! And then here comes Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. He's like, "Hey guys, you remember the angels? They're saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Isaiah chapter 9 prophesy, he's going to come, he's the Prince of Peace." And there he comes, he said. Now, do not assume that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. A man's enemy will be the members of his own household. Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. Yet, the kind of peace that we're looking for, the kind of peace that we think he necessarily bring or he bring, is not what the world is looking for. People are looking for temporary peace. Now, this morning, I am here to remind you that if we really let Christ come in, you will experience peace no matter what the circumstances are. You see, now in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is telling the disciples, the apostles, when you choose to follow me, the world will hate you. Is it peaceful when people hate you for following Christ? No. That's why a lot of Christians, unless they are being filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit, they become cowards. Why? I just want the peace. There are certain things they won't talk about. Do you know, if you really, and maybe some of you are, you read it in the book of Acts, how the disciples, even last week I talked about it, all of the disciples, I told you the other day, persecution is not a bad thing. We're not praying, "God, please send us for persecution." No, but if it comes, you know what? Lord, give us backbones. Give us endurance. But how many times we don't have the courage to stand for the truth? Why? I want peace. Really? And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 10. He says, if you truly want, actually, let's go there, because there are some verses at the end there, I think verse 37. Matthew chapter 10. Let's reopen your Bibles. Matthew 10, verse 34. Read from the New King James. Is that what you have it? NIV, that's perfect. NIV is good. "Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to earth, to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Verse 35. Okay, Let's see. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36, a man's enemy will be those in his own household. Verse 37, he who loves father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Let me stop right there. How many times we find ourselves in situation in the name of peace, we are even afraid to tell our own children the truth. Let me tell you again. I have a best friend. Example, right? Let's say you have a best friend. Very close friend. And you know that friend is just not healthy. They're doing things that are not destroying their lives. But you are a Christian. And your best friend might not go to church. You love Jesus. You are convicted to talk to them. Listen to this, you are convicted. You know? I'm talking about this good friend you have. You know you have an authority. Authority is influence, the ability to influence that person. But because you're like, you know what? I just don't want to lose the friendship. And you never say anything. Because you know, if you say something, this Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, this prophecy will accomplish in your life. What will happen? You won't have peace. They might disown you. Are you guys with me? Well, think about this. Maybe you'll get it when I'm gone. But I'll plant the seed anyway. Think about this. I have come. The verse 34, 35, 36, Jesus is very clear. And then verse 37, it says, he who loves fathers, mother, son, daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love my family so much. I love them enough to tell them the truth. But I know, I've read this somewhere, it says truth will always sound like hate when someone doesn't want to hear it. Truth will always, and I tell you, I've been there. I've been in position where someone is telling me the truth, but I don't want to hear it. And the moment I'm listening to them talking, and I'm like, he hates me. No, it's because I don't want to hear that truth. So truth will always sound like hate when I don't want to hear it. But when I want to hear the truth, oh, it's medicine to my soul. Even though it hurts, right? That peroxide on the cut. You know that little thing you have to put on that cut. Even if you're like, but you know it's good for the cut. God help us. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And I think that's when peace with God comes in play. Well, now let's look a couple different aspects of peace also. For example, inner conflict. Well, let's talk about inner conflict. People in the world are struggling with doubts, fear, uncertainty. And I tell you, I encourage you with this, my brothers and sisters. Trust in God. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. God is the author of tomorrow. Listen, it doesn't matter. You know, there is a time, I give up right now. I give up, all right? I'll tell you what I give up on. There is a time somebody says, almond oil. They said, if you use almond oil, you're not going to lose your hair. Man, I tell you, I was faithful. I mean, putting almond oil everywhere, you know, almond oil. Yes, I believe almond oil can help me have hair like my brother Sim. I was just like, I'm embracing getting bald, all right? I'm embracing it like Robert, like Baldy over there. But I'm using almond oil, you know. I'm like, and believe me, guys, there was a time I thought my hair was growing. I'm like, it's coming. I'm looking in the mirror. Oh, yes, it's coming. Not really. It just didn't work. Almond oil. Because I want to have hair. I want to have a head full of hair. Okay, I give up on that. I'm over that, all right? I'm bald. I get it. Like, I want a hair like you, buddy. All right? So you see what happened? I give up on that. I accept the fact that my season, I'm bald. I'm getting bald. Okay? So I either start growing a beard, or, you know, if this is what they do, or maybe start doing a little mustache like Robert or something like, you know? People in the world, we all deal with so many things that give us anxiety. What is your season? What season are you in? Are you allowing inner conflict destroying your life? Doubt, fear for tomorrow, fear for the future. I encourage you today, please, put all your trust in the maker of tomorrow. God is the maker of tomorrow. And you know what? That gives me peace when I'm like, there's nothing I can do to stop being bald. Bald. You got me, brother. You've been there. There's nothing I can do. So why should I worry so much when every time I look in the mirror, I go back to my pictures 22 years ago. I'm like, let's see, my hair was out here. That's just creating anxiety. So I trust my future. I put it in the hand of the maker of tomorrow. Even this afternoon is not promised. And if we can do that, that puts you in a position of peace. I'm not worrying about my kids. I'm not worrying about 2026. You remember 2019? Was it 2019? 2020, everybody was just like, 2020 vision. Everybody was coming out with all this great spiritual declaration for 20. Man, 2020 was the worst, kind of the worst year, right? With COVID and stuff. People, you know, some dear people we know passed during COVID. You know, it was a crazy year. Did we know COVID was coming? We did not. We did not know. Do we know what 2026 is bringing? The best thing you and I can do is trust. The best thing you can do is trust. And I go back again to that wheelbarrow last week, all right? You remember that wheelbarrow on the string? Get in that wheelbarrow and trust. Trust God. Trust Him. Put all your hope in Him. When you put all your hope in Him, you know what's going to happen? You will experience that peace on earth we're talking about. And that's why when you're going through it all, whatever the situation comes, when you're going through it all, people can ask you, how come you look so peaceful? And then you can tell them, it's because I have the Prince of Peace residing here. You can lose everything. I mean, our own life, we lost everything a couple times in our lives. I lived in Florida. When we lived in Florida, I worked like three jobs because when we knew we were going to go back to Haiti, there was a time we couldn't even invite people home to our house because we had certain budget, you know, we're very hospitable, but we're like, man, we want to, but we don't have the finance. Now you imagine 2007, 8, 9, most of the money I spent in Haiti building our house, building, you know, kind of going, preparing to go back. Spent a lot of money, most of the money I worked for. In 2010, an earthquake happened all those things. The house, the car, furniture, everything, thousands of dollars. And then when we went back, I was just like, okay, well, the pastor went to heaven, his wife, the church we were going to serve is, you know, like 48 people died in that church building because the earthquake happened when there was like a service. So I'm looking at the whole area like a war zone. It's terrible. And I'm thinking, well, okay, Lord, I guess I can go back to Florida and start over. And then God's like, no, I didn't tell you to. This was the assignment. I want you here. Then I'm like, oh. Slept on rocks, on carpets for months until June 2010. We had a couple sheds, 8x8 sheds donated. So we put two together. So our family lives in two sheds together for a couple years. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? Well, I guess I don't have to be here, Lord. No. But in the midst of it all, I knew the Prince of Peace. He guides. I was just walking in faith. But you know what? Even looking back, losing everything, God is the author of everything. He's the owner of everything. I mean, even when we try to hang on to stuff so much, that brings anxiety. And I tell you, that's one of the reasons you give tithes and offering. You donate. You find a cause. The Union Mission, the CPC, different other activity, like the Joy Ministries, you know, different things, send money to missionaries. That's why do not hold on to your life. Because Jesus said, if you're holding on to it, you know what's going to happen? You lose it. I want us as people of peace. I want you to experience peace. And one of the best ways to get rid of being free from inner conflict is to accept your season. Get rid of doubt. I give you the example. I'm okay. I'm going to be bold. I stopped using almond oil years ago. I stopped because I even had faith that it's going to work. I did. And I was excited about it until I realized it's not going to work. How about interpersonal conflict relating to relationships? Last week I mentioned about something about managing life relationships. It doesn't matter how much you love God. If you can't love people, your love for God is worthless. Let me repeat again. Doesn't matter how much you love God. Man, I love the Lord. He's the lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Jesus, you see how much I love you. And you're treating people like trash. Your family, the most difficult ones to deal with. The Word of God says, what's the difference if you can only love the lovable people? The world doesn't. The world loves the nice people, you know, people who are nice to them. What's the difference if between you and the world and darkness if you can only be kind to people who are kind to you? You know, the difference you make is when you can show kindness to people who doesn't deserve it. To not judge them. Enter personal conflict. You know, if you have family members who have different political view than you, it's fine. Just don't talk about politics. Just accept, hey, let's agree to disagree. You're my brother. I love you. We'll come together. Let's play dominoes. Let's play Uno. Let's watch football. Find a common area. As long as it depends on you, find peace and maintain it. Interpersonal conflicts demonstrate the great need for interpersonal peace. I mean, nowadays, you see how people are driving? I told you already, traffic is bad. So now you need extra grace when you drive around to stop, let somebody in. When they cut you off, don't honk at them. Say, God, give them peace. Lord, give them peace, Lord. Protect them as they rush here and there. You know, your life could, you could be an agent of like a little bubble of prayer everywhere you drive. You say, God, and then that brings you peace. Be intentional in this season. Peace on earth. From our reading last week, I love this 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 to 11. It says, if you want to enjoy life, if you want to see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Search for peace. Work to maintain it. And that might be, you know, there might be somebody in your life you just see once a year. You know, or you go see them once in a while. But as much as it depends on you, search for peace and maintain the peace. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. You know, the Bible addresses managing life relationship. I love it because, you know, they say this is our, the cross position, horizontal, right? Vertical, horizontal determine our relationship with each other, hug each other, all right? Touching each other. And then the vertical aspect of the cross create that direct relationship between us and Father. So you cannot separate the cross. Amen? You cannot. So if you are in intimate relationship with Jesus, I'm challenging you. Love people. Because if you can't love people, stop saying you love God. One of the best way you can show you love God is by the way you love others. Here are some other verses that support what we're saying about stewardship in relationship. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 16. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. Something that I have learned years ago, and I live by this. I actually need to put it in my office. I need to find out who said it. It's a quote from somebody. I've learned it from my brother-in-law a couple years ago. It says, to be unclear is to be unkind. To be unclear is to be unkind. And you know, kindness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you have friendship or relationship, always do your best to be clear. When there is hurt, be clear about hurt. The hurt. I mean, even in the context of marriage, one of the things that destroy marital relationship is when people can't be clear. You know, it's like, I assume she should get it. She assume I should get it. No. And until you tell me, I don't know. Stop assuming. You know? 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. I like this. So each of you have a gift. God wants to use you. And remember, if you are still breathing, don't say you're done. God's not done with you yet. You know, this whole thing, man, I'm 85, I'm 72, I'm 60, you know, I've been there, done that. That's demonic. That's the plan of the enemy to shut you down. Find a way to serve God. Especially in your local church, in your community. Find a way to do, what can I do? Get involved. That helps you steward good relationship. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Just as in Christ God forgive you. I call this foundation of healthy connections. What is this? Be kind. be compassionate, forgiving one another. That's a foundation. You know, not everything somebody says deserves a response. Sometimes it's best to now, what I'm telling you, it took me years to learn it. Or even in pastoral position, in church. Sometimes it's best to just, okay. Sometimes it's best to just let it go. It is. It's best to just let it go. And give God time to avenge. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, each other, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Those are essential for deep, lasting bonds. You know, we live in this community, in this generation, where before, anytime there's a conflict, you want to divorce. I mean, if I'm your friend, let's say, we've done life for 6 years. So, yes, I'm human. I might hurt you. I might say something that offends you. Please, let's not divorce. Let's talk. And let me know if I hurt you. So there can be restoration, restitution, and healing so we can move forward. I tell you, this drives me crazy in the church, in Christians. They're so unkind. Before, you know, that's why people do church hopping. They come here, they stay 2 years here, and then, oh, I don't like it again. And then they're not even kind enough to come and have a conversation. That's one thing I honor here in this church. I honor the covenant. I honor you who has been here through it all. Yeah, you wanted to leave. You wanted to pack up. But you know what? No, this is home. I honor you for that. Maybe I've never said that, but I do. I looked around, I'm like, you know what? So-and-so, they've been here forever. Man, they've endured and they've prevailed. That's a good sign. You know how to manage deep and how to create lasting bonds. Proverbs chapter 18, 22. This is what it says. It says, he who finds a good wife and a good husband finds the treasure. It's good. That's why for those of you who are not married, I pray for you young people. You have your values together in how you look for a wife, how you look for a husband. You know, you wait. Do not water down your values. Keep it up. Wisdom and guidance. When it comes ways to have peace in relationship. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such thing. So instead of first thing, first thought, you always think about the negative aspect of a person. Look for the good. Isn't it that hard? It is hard. It's always easier to see the negative in people. But as we train our thoughts, we train our mind, it will come easy. Enter conflict, inner conflict. We talk about that. We talk about interpersonal conflict, and I told you what to do to take care of those things. Anxiety, be aware of anxiety. Now, in conclusion, my brothers and sisters, likewise, as for us believers, we are charged into living a life like Christ, loving like Jesus, loving people like Jesus, and we do have the resources to do that. We are called to experience peace on earth. Romans chapter 12, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far it depends on you, what must you do? Live at peace This is what Jesus said. And I remind you of this again. John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you peace as the world gives it. The world's peace is temporarily. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. So when you're afraid, you know the best thing you can do? Just be honest. God, I'm just afraid now. We're trying to be so strong. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So we can come to him saying, you know what, Father? I'm afraid right now. I don't have peace. Jesus, you my Prince of Peace. So I let you in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being our Prince of Peace. Even right now, Father, as we live in this world, this season, there are so many situations that could steal our peace. But Lord, we thank you that you are our Prince of Peace. And as we are being intentional to go out from this place, every situation that we encounter, starting at home, Lord Jesus, we ask that you'd use us to spread peace, to spread hope in this season as we celebrate your coming. God, you know our hearts, you know our struggle, you know each person here, you know their season. Father, I intercede for them and I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and work the miracle that needs to be done in their lives. We thank you that you are the God of our victory. In you we have victory. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. All right, well, won't you bless each other? Find somebody, say, I bless you today. Pronounce a word of blessings. You know, bless them with something, with joy, with peace, with good health. I bless you with good health. I bless you with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We love you guys.